This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Agriculture groups are calling on the Senate to finish the job and pass the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement following approval in the House of Representatives Thursday. The U.S. House overwhelmingly passed implementing legislation for USMCA, sending the trade agreement to the Senate. The vote came up following a delay of more than a year to make changes and reach an agreement between the House Democrats and the Trump administration. Representative Richard Neal, who led the House efforts to modify the agreement, says the transformed trade deal approved Thursday closes important loopholes and enables the United States to ensure our trading partners live up to their commitments. Senate leader Mitch McConnell last week stated that Senate would not consider approving the agreement until after the Senate completes the impeachment trial in January. Members of the National Corn Growers Association were in Washington this week, urging the Senate to quickly consider and pass the trade agreement in the new year. The House and Senate also this week came together in passage of spending bills for fiscal year 2020. Senate Appropriations Committee Chairman Richard Shelby, an Alabama Republican, says bipartisan cooperation has made this possible. The spending package for agriculture includes $23.5 billion in discretionary funding, $451 million above fiscal year 2019 enacted levels. It also includes $1.5 billion in disaster funding for farmers and ranchers that was set to expire at the end of this year. Additionally, the bill includes $550 million for the Rural Broadband Reconnect pilot program, along with funding the Farmer and Rancher Stress Assistance Network and reinstating the expired biodiesel tax credit retroactive through 2022. As farm groups welcomed the spending package, the National Milk Producers Federation applauded the legislation for including direction on dairy-imitating products using labels containing dairy terms. The Food and Drug Administration provisions included language reaffirming bipartisan congressional concern with misleading imitation dairy products, directing FDA to enforce its own rules on labeling. The EPA yesterday approved 10 pesticides for the use on hemp crops during use for 2020's growing season. The much-needed action allows hemp growers to protect their crops with approved products. Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles says the action is a step in the right direction for hemp growers, adding it is important our growers have new technology and tools to better help protect their crops and increase their yields. While EPA oversees the pesticide registrations for hemp, other federal agencies are working to streamline their separate regulatory implementation processes for the newly legalized crop. The agency also advances the registration of atrazine, a widely used product for weed control. Missouri Corn Growers Association CEO and Triazine Network Chair Gary Marshall says we appreciate the proposal, adding atrazine is tremendously important to farmers across the country. The agency is proposing a reduction to the maximum application rate for atrazine used on residential turf and other updates to the label requirements, including mandatory spray drift control measures. And in international ag news, some details are starting to emerge on how China would increase their imports from the U.S. by as much as $200 billion over the next 2 years. That would meet its commitments under the Phase One trade deal announced last week. Bloomberg says the still unsigned deal includes Chinese purchase levels of $40 to $50 billion of U.S. ag commodities, a level which many experts think is not reachable. To help get closer to that figure, sources close to the matter tell Bloomberg that Beijing plans to restart purchases of ethanol by lifting or waiving trade war tariffs on the fuel. China is also considering taking U.S. trade from Hong Kong into its mainland ports, which would enable about $10 billion a year in U.S. goods to go directly to the mainland, which would boost the tally. The U.S. does not count the shipments that go through Hong Kong as part of its trade with China, however. China will also grant more regular waivers on retaliatory tariffs to local buyers of U.S. farm products like soybeans and pork. Back in November, China had lifted its ban on U.S. poultry shipments as part of the trade negotiations, and U.S. officials estimate poultry exports will top $1 billion per year. Moving on now into state ag news, the Monarch Challenge, which actually the monarch butterfly is the state insect of Illinois, is a research-driven initiative from BASF helping producers to protect the monarch butterfly habitat. Michael Clemens reports.
BASF also demonstrates what it's doing at its own sites around the U.S. to improve monarch populations. The goal was to have 1,000 farmers sign up for the Monarch Challenge in 2019. The actual results more than doubled that at almost 2,500 participants. Chip Schilling is Sustainability Strategy Manager for BASF. He talks about the importance of planting milkweed for monarch butterflies.
It's one of those really iconic species, the monarch, that people know and love all throughout the United States. But what they don't realize is that milkweed is the only species of plant that the monarch will eat as it's in its larval stage or in that caterpillar stage. So it's really critical that we think about conserving the milkweed that we have on agricultural land and non-agricultural land, too, to provide that food source.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is set to determine whether the monarch butterfly warrants Endangered Species Act protection by December of 2020. Between now and then, Schilling says BASF will be helping to reestablish more lost milkweed habitats through the Monarch Challenge.
It's something that, from an agriculture perspective, it's within the realm of what can be done for the monarch. So how can we reestablish not only milkweed, but other native flowering sources for the adult monarch to eat? And really, how it can overall fit into a farmed agricultural biodiversity and sustainability plan.
Pollinators are vital for U.S. agriculture, according to Schilling, who says the effort helps growers understand the importance of protecting habitat for pollinators.
They're critical to productive agriculture. So it was one of the projects and areas where we saw really a need of getting out there and talking about what can be done on an agricultural landscape from that perspective and providing information. We're trying to change misperceptions about milkweed and the concern growers might have about the spread into fields. So really saw it as a great opportunity to get out there and talk to our customers, talk to the broader agriculture community, and provide some information.
More information is available online at www.monarchchallenge.com.
We give away plants every spring, so just sometime in mid-May we start giving away plants. The sign-up should open up after the first of the year. So again, visit monarchchallenge.com. There's another great resource, which is Monarch Milkweed Habitat. If you want to know what milkweed species are native in your state or what are the types of plants that flower spring, summer, and fall, you can visit Monarch Milkweed Habitat. Click on your state and you'll learn some more information there as well.
Again, check out monarchchallenge.com to learn more about how you can help protect monarchs and their habitats. Michael Clements reporting.
And the state of Illinois is taking a big initiative when it comes to saving monarch butterfly populations and habitats. In other state ag news, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement has won approval in the U.S. House yesterday, and we have reaction from Illinois Farm Bureau Director of National Legislation and Policy Development, Adam Nielsen.
They see that there's an opportunity to expand already strong exports into Canada and Mexico, that the trade deal does, you know, open the door for more dairy and more wheat into Canada. The agreement is modernized. You know, when I look back where I was in April of 2017 on a day when the president was threatening to pull out of NAFTA, and Secretary Perdue was able to reel back that discussion and, you know, explain to the president that NAFTA creates jobs in states that you had just won, it gave us a reprieve. And so we still have our tariff-free access in a modernized agreement that does a little bit more for agriculture. And I think also should create some momentum for us to get started in other areas of the world.
So what does it mean for Illinois agriculture?
Well, we're already, you know, Canada and Mexico are already big customers of ours. Mexico in particular, I think, you know, the vast majority of our corn exports go down on a train across the border. And the last time I checked, it was in the $800 million a year range, so that's pretty significant. A lot of ethanol exports to Canada. We also send a fair share of pork and beef to both of those countries as well, and a lot of finished food items from the Chicago area. You know, I always say our trade, our agricultural trade with Mexico is complementary. What they grow, you know, when it's not the right season here in Illinois, we buy from them, and vice versa. So, in Canada, they receive a lot of our finished goods, and there's a bit of livestock and meat that crosses the border.
The Senate also needs to approve the trade deal before it is sent to the White House, and that will likely happen sometime next month or in February. Moving on now to the local Ag Community Bulletin Board, which there's not much going on with 5 days till Christmas, but I'd like to remind you that the Mid-Illinois Pork Producers has donated pork certificates yet again for me to give away for Christmas. There's nothing better than a ham for Christmas dinner, so here's your chance to win $20 worth of pork. I'll pick 12 lucky winners this afternoon in our 12 Days of Christmas pork giveaway. All you have to do is email us at WSMI at WSMIradio.com with your name, phone number, and, again, pork in the subject line of your email. Then, later on this afternoon, I'll pick 12 lucky winners and announce them during the Noon Ag Show. So thanks again to all the folks with the Mid-Illinois Pork Producers for, again, sponsoring the Christmas giveaway. And they all want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And that'll wrap up this Friday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us or anything for the bulletin board, you can email that to us at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So for this Friday morning, December 20th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.